Hey, this is Steve, and today I'm starting a brand new message series called Visionaries. This series is all about having a personal vision for your life. Look, it's a new year. Maybe it's time for you to catch a new vision for what's possible in your life. This message series will lead us up to Super Sunday on February 2nd. This is a huge day in the life of our church. On that day, February 2nd, we'll have one service only at a different location. We'll be at the Gilmer High School Gymnasium. We originally wanted to be at the Ella J. Elementary School Auditorium, but they rerouted us and will now be at the high school gymnasium. But it is going to be fantastic. We are going to pull out all the stops and we're going to celebrate our birthday and we're going to re-partner together. So I hope you'll be with us for our one service on February 2nd, Super Sunday. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. And in this first message of this series, I'm asking the question, are you a visionary? I know a lot of Christians that think they aren't, but Jesus says you are. He has given you a vision of something that others can't see. Most believers' problems isn't that they aren't visionaries, it's that their vision is tiny and dim. What if Jesus designed you to have a much bigger and better vision for your life? Alexander Graham Bell. You know that name. He was a teacher of deaf students. He had a real heart for the deaf. His mom had been deaf. His spouse, his wife, was deaf. And Alexander Graham Bell was always looking for ways to transmit the human voice somehow in a way that maybe deaf people could hear. And it was this passion, this vision for transmitting the human voice that led in 1876 to his invention, the telephone. It's because of his vision we today all carry telephones around in our pockets. Because Alexander Graham Bell had this incredible vision. His vision changed the way we communicate. It changed our ability to be able to be connected to people far away. His vision was a powerful, world-changing vision. We're going to be talking in this series about visionaries and what visionaries really are. And my question for you in this series, as we start off, is this. Are you a visionary? Are you a visionary? Do you have the ability to see beyond the now, see beyond the what is, and to see a preferred future and to aim your life toward that? Are you a visionary? Jesus says you are. Yeah, here's what Jesus says in Matthew 5. Jesus says that you are the light of the world, a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Yeah, Jesus is saying that as a believer, as a follower of Christ, you can see something that people of the world can't see, that you are living in the light and that you are a broadcaster, a shiner of that light. You have stepped out of the darkness. You know, darkness, it's where lost people are. Darkness, that's where you stumble and fumble and try to find your way, but perpetually can't because you're in darkness. That's where you bump into things and fall down and get hurt, darkness. No wonder we call those people lost. That's not who you are. You are a child of the light. You can see better. You can see the goal. Your eyes are fixed on the prize that is Jesus Christ. You have the ability to see what others cannot see. You play an important role in this world as part of the great plan of God. In other words, according to Jesus, and this is the first blank on your page if you're following along in this series, you are wired to be a visionary. According to Jesus, you are wired to be a visionary. If you're a follower of Christ, then you're following something you can see that others can't. That's why John, the apostle, he writes this. He says, if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you are a follower of Christ, you are walking in light. You don't have to worry about not being able to see. You're not walking around with blindfolds on, trying to feel your way through the darkness and stumbling around. You have the ability to see. You are a visionary. That's who God has made you to be. I know I talk to people all the time. I talk to believers here in our family. And, you know, when you talk about things like being a visionary, there's pushback. People say, oh, I said, well, that's not me. I'm just not that. I'm just a regular, ordinary, plain old person. I just kind of see what's right in front of me. I don't really go in for all that. And I just want to say, don't tell me that you're not a visionary, because to deny being a visionary is to deny living in the light. God has given you through Christ the ability to see something that others cannot. And it's that vision, the vision of Him, that pulls us together, that makes us all family, and that empowers you to walk in the light, to follow Him, and to be part of the great plan that He has for you and that He has for this world. You know the problem with not being a visionary, right? You know the problem of not having vision, right? You've seen this verse, right? In Proverbs, it says this, that where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Well, that doesn't sound so bad. I mean, look at that. Cast off restraint. Well, I want to have no chains on me. I want to not be restrained. I want to not be in some kind of cage. I want to cast off restraint. This is the ESV version of this verse. You may be used to the King James translation of this verse, which says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But that's not exactly what it says. It says that where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Another translation says that where there's no vision, the people run wild. Yeah. So they cast off restraint. In other words, what this is really trying to tell us here is where there's no vision, the people don't really know where they're going. They don't really know what they're doing. Where there's no vision, there's no boundaries in life. And if there's no boundaries, then there's no direction. If there's no boundaries, there's no direction, then there's no goal. So you know what it's like to live without vision. You've seen what it's like to live without vision. That's where, you know, when you're living without vision, you're spinning your wheels and going nowhere. You're putting in a lot of effort and seemingly accomplishing nothing. You know, a person without vision, they're someone with no drive, no goals, no ambition. They're just drifting through their life, just hoping that, you know, not too many bad things will happen and only good things will happen. A person with no vision is a person that spends good money after bad. They waste a lot of time. They waste a lot of energy. They waste money. And they just don't really go anywhere as a result. So yeah, where there's no vision, the people perish. Maybe you've had times like that in your life. Maybe you've had kids like that in your life. You know, maybe you've got friends like that in your life. The reality is, according to Scripture, next blank on your page, is that lack of vision can be deadly. Lack of vision can literally be deadly. It can lead you to the grave. That's why God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. God has been generous and explicit with us to tell us who he is and what his plan is for our lives. I mean, God has given us his word that is full of clear wisdom and instruction of how to live. Where to go, what to do. He puts boundaries in place for us so we'll know what to avoid and we'll know where we're going. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Most of us, though, most of us don't have this brightly lit path in our lives. Most of us don't have this shining end goal that we are keeping our eyes fixed on. Most of us, unfortunately, most of us, believers, kind of have a small, dim vision. Most of us don't really know where we're going. We're wired to be visionaries. We're wired to be children of light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. But so many of us have a small, dim vision. Our vision is sadly very me-centered. You know, we have maybe visions of what we want for us, me and mine. You know, we have visions of what we'd like our lives to look like so that we're happy and healthy and wealthy. And we've got a very me, dim, small vision in our lives. I even hear it here in church. You know, I hear it in church. Church people, you know, I come from a church background where I hear that small, dim vision all the time. You know, it's about what I can achieve and what I can do and what I like and what I dislike. Even when it comes to church itself, how we gather together to worship God. You know, I remember being in church where I heard people gripe and grumble and complain. Well, I don't like the newer songs. I like the old traditional. I like things my way. Boy, that's why it was such a blessing this morning to stand in the back of the room and for the instruments to cut out and for all of us to keep singing, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I loved that. That was awesome to hear you guys singing that together. That's his way, not our way. You know, I've been part of churches before where the question isn't, you know, what are we digging into? What are we studying in God's word today? No, the question is, how long is this going to last? You know, I want it my way. I got to get to the restaurant before the Methodists do, you know? Yeah. I hear it today, though, sometimes. You know, I hear it among us sometimes. I was talking to a friend of mine that lives near me in my neighborhood the other day, and they were talking about those millennials. They're just a bunch of snowflakes. Can't trust them, won't hire them, that kind of thing. I'm like, dude, do you realize that they are the single largest segment of the workforce? Nothing you can do about it. They are America. Why do you gotta hate them? You gotta love them. I see it in church sometimes here. Some of us don't come to participate, to engage in worship, engage in loving God, loving others and making disciples. Some of us just come to watch the show. I'm just going to sit and I'm going to fold my arms. I'm not going to take notes. I'm not going to learn. I'm not going to dig into and lean into the Word of God. I'm just going to come observe. Or I watch it with parents of our kids in children's ministry. You know, they're doing such an incredible job. We have the best children's ministry, I think, the best children's ministry formula in town. We're doing the orange curriculum where, you know, it's really more about teaching parents to disciple kids than it is about entertaining kids for an hour. That's what our goal is. It's helping parents be the primary disciplers of their children the way God designed it. But I watch parents say, yeah, I'm just going to drop my kids off for an hour on Sunday and I hope somebody else disciples them. You know, my way, the old way, hanging on to something from the past, the way I think it used to run, the way I think it's supposed to run. You know, I'm all about me, small, dim vision. And that's kind of changed, doesn't it? I mean, isn't a small, dim vision sin? I mean, if God's called me and you to be the light of the world, if he's called us to shine brightly so that the world can see him through us, then isn't having a small, dim vision sin? Isn't having a small, dim vision the very thing that separates us from God in the first place? Isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden? God gave them this giant, grand vision. You here represent me. You speak and act on my behalf. When the world looks at you, the world will see me. You're part of my great plan. He gave them this huge vision to bring the world under their authority because they were under God's authority. But wasn't it exactly their vision all of a sudden shriveling and shrinking and becoming very, very small as it became about them? They heard the words of the Satan, the enemy, and they said, we deserve to be like God. We deserve to know what God knows. We deserve to build our kingdom rather than serving his. And as their vision shrunk to just be about their old selves, their small selves, as their vision dimmed, that was what sin is. And they made the decision to start building their kingdom instead of God's kingdom. And look at the result. Sin enters the world, ruins everything, brings sorrow and pain and abuse and addiction. And all of creation fell. You and I are born into the genetic predisposition to sin. We are a race now of sinners. And it's our sin that brings God's judgment. All because of small, dim vision. That's why Jesus came and he lived for 33 years. Jesus came with his eyes fixed on his Father. He came living every single moment on purpose for his dad's mission in this world to redeem the world back to himself. And everything he did was all about redeeming, redeeming, redeeming. As he taught, as he healed, as he cast out, as he did everything he did it on mission, on purpose, with that grand vision of redemption in mind. And he even went to the cross so that he could redeem you and me by dying for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserved in his own body on the cross, paying the price for us, dying in our place. And he went to that grave and then rose 3 days later and today lives in you and in me to not just restore our vision, but to give us a much bigger, much grander, much greater vision. He gives us a purpose to live for. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see that you're part of a great, great plan? The serpent wants you to have a small, dim vision, but Jesus came here to live for 33 years, and he went to the cross and the grave, and he rose again so that you could be a visionary, knowing why you're here and what your great purpose in this world is. I'm begging you, small vision Christian, repent. Repent from your small vision. Repent from the sin that separates you from God, because, next blank on your page, repentance is the eye opener. Turning from your small vision and looking to see him, letting his countenance flood your life with light that comes from him. That's the thing that changes you. Stop hanging on to the old, past, traditional way you've always done it, and let him change you and turn you into something that only he can make in you. Repentance is the eye opener. Paul writes to the church at Corinth that we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we have this dim little view of what we're supposed to be like and what we're supposed to do here in this world, this dim, broken, fractured mirror view. But he gives us this vision that's way beyond our limited ability to see. He gives us the ability to walk in faith, trusting that his plan is always better than my plan. And the path to vision is repentance. It's letting go of the old. It's letting go of the self. It's letting go of what you're familiar with, what you're used to, what you prefer even, and trusting him instead. Dude, I had to repent of my tiny vision, my selfishness, in order to be used by God to start a church in Ellijay. I didn't want to do that. I mean, confession time. I argued with God about it. I literally held on to the steering wheel in my car one day and said, God, you've got this wrong. You know what? I lost that battle with God. And you know what? You know what I learned? I always want to lose the battle with God. When it comes to my will versus God's will, I always want to be on the losing side. I may not want to at the moment. I may clutch that steering wheel and say, no, 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 that's not what I want. But the best thing for me to do is to lose, because I must become less and less, and he must become greater and greater. So I had to repent. I had to turn from my small vision. Somebody had to repent of their small vision to start Celebrate Recovery here at the Orchard Church a few years ago. I am so grateful that some people were willing to repent of their small vision, because on Friday night, again, we had, I think, about 150 people here who were breaking their addictions and stepping into freedom. On Friday nights. That's what we're doing on Friday nights. I love Celebrate Recovery. Man, it's not a church crowd on Friday night. Am I right? It's not a church crowd, dude. I don't come in and see people always, you know, doing the church greeting. How are you doing, brother? Great. How are you doing, brother? Great. Bunch of liars. That's not what happens at Celebrate Recovery. They come in stinking of their filthy sins, and loving each other and holding each other up. And I love to come to Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights, because you know what? I don't have responsibilities in the back of the room or in the front of the room. I just get to come hug people who maybe haven't gotten a hug from anyone. I get to smile and slap backs and be grateful to be part of a community of people who are stepping out of their small, dim vision in repentance and stepping into the light. And dude, God is changing lives at Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights. Thank you, Lord, for repentance. We as a church had to repent and get out of our four walls and step out into our community in a big way and discover the community at Tower Road, where we love to go, and we started feeding people there. We started loving people there. We started giving gifts to people there. We're over there all the time doing things just out of a sense of a vision for what God just may want to do in that community that's disconnected from us and disconnected from LJ, but yet right here in the middle of Gilmer County. We had to repent of wanting to do what we wanted, and we had to get out of ourselves and give ourselves away for that. Somebody had to repent of a small, dim vision in children's ministry and start encouraging children to memorize scripture verses. I don't know if you know about this, but man, this last year, they really started this big scripture memory program, and somebody asked Aaron, hey, Aaron, Apple Aaron, you know, Aaron Hawk, they said, dude, if our kids memorize some verses, would you just do something crazy for them? And so they set some goals, some progressive goals for kids. If you memorize this many verses, Apple Aaron is gonna eat a banana pepper. But if you memorize this many verses, Apple Aaron will eat a serrano pepper. But if you memorize this many verses, Apple Aaron will eat a habanero pepper. Now, nobody ever thought he would actually have to eat the habanero pepper. But Apple Aaron had to eat all the peppers up, all the way up through the habanero pepper. And today, at 11:30, right here on this stage, in front of God and everybody, all the kids are going to come in here, and Apple Aaron is going to eat a ghost pepper because those kids memorized so many dang verses. And just so you know, I got to get up for this. This is crazy. Here's the jalapeno that he ate the other day. But the ghost pepper is all the way up here. It's 855,000 to over 1 million on the Scoville scale. So compared to I top out somewhere in here. I guess it was jalapeno and then serrano. I'm not sure what he did. Yeah, habanero is what he ate before. And now he's jumping up to ghost today at 11:30 in here. And he's doing it because somebody had a vision for kids memorizing verses. And those verses that those kids are memorizing, you know, now when they're single digit age, you remember when you were single digit age? Can you remember that far back? No. No. These verses that they're memorizing now are going to continue to speak into their lives when they're your age and my age. They're going to memorize them now, and they're still going to be remembering them later. God is moving into their lives in a big way, all because somebody had a vision to challenge kids to memorize verses. Isn't that awesome? In other words, God's doing something new. God's doing something new. Why you gotta settle for what you like, what you're used to, what's old? Why you gotta settle for something small and dim when God is doing something new? In Isaiah, God is speaking, and he says, I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. Hey, visionary, can you see it? God is always about doing something new. He's always about you prying your fingers loose from that old in your life, and he's always about killing the old and doing something new. We call that process sanctification. And that's what he's all about in every way. That's the next blank on your page, is that God is doing something new. He wants to do something in you, something brand new in you. And surprise, surprise, he wants to do something brand new through you. You see, you have a place in God's great plan. Has he given you a vision for it yet? Have you seen it yet? Let me put it in practical terms. Does your vision have a face? Does your vision have a name? Because I promise you, that coworker that you work with, you didn't just happen to start working right next to that person. God put you there so that you would have a vision to see the light spread into that coworker. I promise that next door neighbor that you have, you don't really even know their names or who they are. I promise you, you didn't just happen to move in next to them. God put you there. Do you have a vision to see them know Christ? Does your vision have a name and a face? Because I promise you, God has placed you right where he's placed you, whether it's where you are in school or where you are in your neighborhood or where you are in your community. He's placed you there so that marriages can be healed, so that addictions can be broken, so that relationships can be restored, so that sin can be broken in people's lives. He's put you where he's put you to shine his light through you and to break the back of Satan all around you. You are an agent of God's great plan. And listen, don't worry, no pressure. Nobody's calling you to fix them. God's not calling you to fix them. You can't fix them. But he can. He can. He stands willing and ready and perfectly capable of healing all wounds, of binding up all brokenhearted. He is able to do that. He just wants to use you to be a conduit. He just wants to use you to be an open door. Do you have a vision for it? Can you see it? He's ready and willing to do something new in LJ. Can you see it? Because you're part of it. That's why you're here. So my question for you in this series, and by the way, next week, just get your seatbelts ready because I'm going to hit you hard next week. There's going to be some stuff we deal with next week that's going to make your eyes spin around. Next week, this is going to be a good series for us. But my challenge and my question for you in this whole series is the last blank on your page, and it's this: what is the new that God wants to do through me? What's the new that God has planted you here for? Man, I would never, never have chosen to move from Atlanta Metro to LJ. I would never have picked that. But God put me here. And some of you are just like me. How did I end up here? Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you've just had a small dim vision and this is just kind of where you ended up. Fine. God still has a plan for you today, tomorrow. And your vision has a name. It has a face. Seek God and let him show you what that vision is. He wants to do something new through you.